If you would please turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua. We continue our journey through the book of Joshua. This morning we're going to look at Joshua chapter 14. I'm going to read part of the chapter. Read verses 6 through 14. Joshua 14, 6 through 14. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open here. This is my text. I will be back to the passage. And I will remind you as we read it that this is the Word of God. Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke, these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still strong. I'm still strong today as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite, unto this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Let's pray. Now, Father, obviously our text is trying to get across the point. Caleb followed you fully. He followed the Lord his God fully. He followed the God of Israel fully. There was no double-mindedness in him. He was determined to obey the will of God. He was determined to claim the promises of God. He was determined that he would set foot on the very land that God had promised him. So, Lord, we're going to look at this morning, not at Caleb, but at the God who can keep a promise that he made so long ago. Who can guarantee that a promise will come true? Only he who holds the future in his hands. So that's what we're looking at this morning, God. Speak to our hearts through your word, I pray. Amen. How can anyone be sure that the future is in God's hands? Passages like the one that we read convince us of this reality because of God's actions in the past. When we believe what God has revealed about himself in the Word, we can rely on his workings in Scripture as an anchor in the present and a confidence towards the future. Caleb, who we're reading about here in Joshua 14, knew the future belonged to God, and he lived like it. Now, look at verse 1. Now, these are the territories which the sons of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, and Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the households of the tribes of the sons of Israel appointed to them for an inheritance by the lot of their inheritance the Lord commanded through Moses. So what we have here is although much fighting still remained, It was time to parcel out Canaan among the individual tribes. So the next nine chapters actually deal with this division of the land and the taking of their inheritance. But we want to look at what happened at the very beginning of this process as it involves this man, Caleb. The first thing we notice is that God keeps a 400-year-old promise. God keeps a 400-year-old promise. Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, one of the major themes of the Old Testament, one of the major storylines of the Old Testament, is the promise to Abraham. The promise to Abraham was twofold, really. One was that through his family, all the nations of the family would be blessed by the coming of the Messiah. But the other promise was that Abraham's descendants would inherit the land of Canaan. Abram was living in that land, and God had promised him that your descendants. And when God promised it to Abram, he had no descendants. That's why his name's Abram and not Abraham yet. His name was changed when he began to have children. But so here's a childless man that God appears to and says, I'm going to give your descendants this land. Now, as where we are in the Bible right now, that event took place 400 years ago. 400 years ago. God can keep a promise made centuries ago. Because he doesn't just know the future, he controls the future. There's a big difference. He doesn't just know the future. He doesn't have some kind of crystal ball in which supposedly he could look into the future and see what's happening. He doesn't need that. He controls the future. He could tell Abraham, who had no children, and as we know, eventually he and his wife grew old and had no children. He could tell Abraham, hey, your descendants are going to be like the grains of sand on the seashore, and I'm going to give you this very land that you're standing in at this moment. How could God make a promise like that unless he could control the promise? He controls the future. The promise, but this isn't just about the promise that his people would inherit the land, okay? The promise to Abraham that his people would inherit the land. For us, the point is the promise to Christ that his people would inherit their spiritual blessings. Okay? We're not Israel. We weren't promised Canaan, but we were promised through Christ spiritual blessings. Keep your hand here. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 16. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, and that is Christ. So the main promise wasn't just to all of Abraham's descendants. The main promise that God was making was to one descendant, Christ. Christ is the ultimate recipient of the promise made to Abraham. Look down at Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For you have all been baptized into Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. So the point is not that God could keep a 400-year-old promise to Israel. The point is that God can also keep the promise he's made to us through Christ. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Acts 2:39, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. Now again, we can look back at God's history as he revealed through the scripture that if he could make a promise 400 years ago and it come to pass, then the promise that he has made to us through Christ will come to pass. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance. Now, their inheritance was the land of Canaan. But notice our inheritance, which is imperishable and undefiled. It will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So it's not just the promise to Abraham that his people would inherit the promised land. It's the promise to us as believers in Christ that we have been given a spiritual inheritance and that it's reserved and waiting for us in heaven and will be revealed at the proper time. We can cling to that promise as much as Abraham could cling to the promise made to him. So we'll go back to Joshua 14. So the first thing that then we notice what's going on here in chapter 14 and even through chapter 14 through 21 is that the inheritance was being given, the promise was being fulfilled, a promise made 400 years ago. But we also see here in this passage, God keeps a 45-year-old promise. God keeps a 45-year-old promise. And the good news here is that God not only keeps a promise to a whole nation, God keeps a promise to a single individual. It's not just that God kept his promise to the nation of Israel. God kept his promise to a man, an individual named Caleb. It wasn't just, in other words, it wasn't just the nation that was inheriting the land. People were inheriting the land. Individuals were inheriting the land. Now look at verse 12. Joshua 14, 12. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord has spoken on that day. For you heard on that day that the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. Caleb is talking to Joshua to bring to Joshua's remembrance the promise that was made through Moses that Caleb would inherit. We read this in Numbers 13 and 14. That Caleb would inherit the very spot that he had spied out. The very spot that he had spied out as one of the 12 spies. God promised Caleb, you will inherit that exact territory. Now that promise was 45 years old. When it was made, Caleb was only 40 years old. Now he's 85 years old. But the point here isn't that the God keeps his promise to a nation. He keeps his promise to single individuals. Those promises, those inheritance, all that that's given to the church, that's great, but it's given to you. Those promises are personal. Also, we see God's promises aren't just generational, they're personal. They aren't just generational. It wasn't just that the whole generation was going to benefit, but that Caleb himself would be a recipient of the promise. Look back at verse 6. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite, said to him, you know the word the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. In other words, Caleb realized that those promises were to him. They were personal. The promises of God through Christ aren't just to the church as a whole. They are to you personally. Take comfort in that. It's not just a generational thing. It's not just an entire group thing. These promises are for you. I can believe the promises that God has made for me because he's shown in the past that he's able to keep them. He kept them 400 years ago when he made it to Abraham till Joshua. He kept them 45 years later that he made to Caleb. Look at verse 10. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. God's promises aren't just for the young. I have found the older I get, the more prone I am to think that maybe God has forgotten me. I don't know how long Caleb waited for the wilderness. He had to wander 40 years in the wilderness knowing that God had promised him his inheritance. But God had not forgotten Caleb. And when it was time, he fulfilled his promise to Caleb. But here's the question. How can God keep his promise? God can keep his promises because the future is in his hands. I don't know about you. I try to be a man of my word. I try to keep my promises. I tend not to promise a lot because I don't want to fail to deliver. I can make a promise. And we can make it in all sincerity and honesty, but sometimes we can't keep it. And often the reason we can't keep it is we can't control the future. Right? I might say, hey, I'll be there a week from Tuesday. I might make a promise. Hey, listen, when I was younger, I helped a lot of people move pianos. Okay. Hey, I promise you, a week from Tuesday, I'll be there to move the piano. Okay. But, you know, when you make a promise, you don't know what's going to happen a week from Tuesday, right? You could be called out of town. You could be in an accident. You could be ill. There's all kinds of things that could happen that would keep you from fulfilling your promise. You meant it. You were sincere. But circumstances were beyond your control. But the point here is they're not beyond God's control. If he says, I'll help you move a piano on Tuesday, a week from Tuesday, he'll be there a week from Tuesday to help you move a piano. Why? Because he controls the future. He's not subject to it. We can't always keep our promises, but God can because the future is in his hands. That's what we're seeing here in Joshua chapter 14. God could make a ironclad promise to Abraham, even if it takes 400 years to come to pass. God can make a promise to Caleb, even though it took 45 years to come to pass. Because he controls the future. This is the God who can be trusted regardless of how big the obstacles in your life. Again, we read verse 12, but you'll notice there at the second half of the verse, Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. That's his way of saying, God's will be done. Okay? There were giants in the land. Now, we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. They were extremely tall. They weren't giants as you know, we think of Jack and the Beanstalk. Okay? But they were extreme. Their tribe, their ethnic group, were very tall, and there are tribes today, there are ethnic groups today that are very tall, and there are ethnic groups that are very short. I'll let you guess which one I might have come from. But Caleb didn't care. He didn't care how tall they were. He didn't care that there were giants in the land. Now, the New American Standard says, well, then give me this hill country. Some of us liked it better and are used to singing the song, I want that mountain, right? I want that mountain. It was a mountain, but he was not afraid of it. It was inhabited by giants, but he's not afraid of it. Look at chapter 15, verse 13. Now he gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, a portion among the sons of Judah, according to the command of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is, a Hebron. Caleb drove them out from there, the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. So even though it was inhabited by giants, by the way, the same size giants that scared the 10 spies 45 years ago did not scare Caleb. And as we saw in the passage, because he trusted God fully. He trusted God fully. He trusted God fully. Caleb demonstrated his faith by standing for God's word when the majority refused to do what God said. Remember that there were 12 spies. Only Caleb and Joshua came back and said, let's go. We can do this. The other 10 said, no way. There are giants in the land. And then the whole nation said, we can't do this. Let's go back to Egypt. But not Caleb. Kingdom-minded folks are radically different from earth-minded folks. When we live in the light of God's promises for the future, we're willing to take bold steps to follow God because His promises are always reliable. You understand that? We can be bold and follow God. We can be strong and courageous, not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's the promise. We can be bold because God can keep His promises. He's demonstrated that in the Old Testament and the New. He's proved it over and over again, and He will keep it the next time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this chance to hear from your word, and we thank you for an opportunity to visually demonstrate or visually see people stepping out in faith in their willingness to be baptized. So we thank you for this day in particular. Amen.